T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's 11 minutes after 5 o'clock. The president was tweeting earlier this morning on Iran, and there are new sanctions that were proposed yesterday on Iran. We're just pressuring and pressuring the nation's leader, and we're squeezing their economy because they are said to have attacked our drone and a warship.
And again, I had a son who was patrolling off the coast of Iran 17 months ago, and he said, "Dad," he said, their weapons were locked onto my helicopter.
Wow.
Thankfully, they didn't shoot. But I feel for a lot of people, especially for parents that have young men and women that may be in harm's way, if this escalates, if there is any kind of an exchange, even a limited exchange, lives on the line here. So we're trying to understand what's really going on and get past the rhetoric. And with us to help provide some perspective, some context, some analysis, something that an app can't do, we're talking to Pamela Falk at CBS News. She is the foreign affairs analyst, and she always helps us see the forest through the trees. Mm-hmm. Pamela, welcome back to CCO.
Thank you, Paul and Jordana. That's pretty dramatic about your son.
Yes.
There are a lot of American lives at stake, and this is a very, very dangerous situation. We've seen a war of words just today with President Trump threatening obliteration of Iran and the Iranian president questioning President Trump's mental health. So that's on the heels of the new U.S. sanctions that target the Iranian supreme leader, other top officials, the president, the foreign minister, all coming about for a few reasons. As Jordana, you mentioned, it comes about because of the shoot down of the U.S. drone. It also comes about because of the U.S. pulling out of the 2015 nuclear accord, and the president is looking to actually renegotiate that agreement. Iran has closed the doors of diplomacy, but we'll see what happens. I mean, the Iran shootdown of the U.S. drone has gone back and forth at the U.N., with Iran saying it was over Iranian waters, U.S. saying it was over international waters, but there was also a series of attacks on commercial oil tankers in the Gulf, and there's pretty hard evidence.
There's video from Central Command, right?
Yes.
We have video evidence.
Exactly. And these weren't only American, they weren't American tankers. They were Norway, Japan, the Emirates, UAE, and Saudi Arabia. And so this is the Strait of Hormuz, the narrow passageway between the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman, where somewhere between a third to a fifth, depending on how you count it, of all oil is transported and a lot of other shipping. So the combination of all of this with a lot of American military assets in the region has really brought this to a fore, and it's partly because the U.S. sanctions have squeezed Europe, which continues to trade and negotiate with Iran, despite what President Trump wants. And what the president wants, he said during the campaign, is to include ballistic missiles, because Iran is meddling in a very dangerous way and launching ballistic missiles. That was never part of the deal in Yemen, where the Houthi rebels may have been responsible for some of those attacks, in Israel, where Hamas just keeps lobbing missiles into Israel, and in Syria and around the world. So that and the sunset clauses, because the president doesn't want it to end so quickly.
Well, Pamela, how does this end? I've been listening to a lot of pundits today
talk
about how this can only end with military action.
I certainly don't know. I don't think anyone knows at this point. But the best case scenario, That's the worst case scenario. The best case scenario is what you heard from Bolton, the National Security Advisor, John Bolton, who we know well here at the UN as the former ambassador, who said, sit down at the table and let's renegotiate what President Trump has said as well.
So they want to renegotiate. Do you? But I thought you just said that Iran has closed the doors.
No, Iran doesn't want to, but the U.S. wants to.
Right.
So there is always the possibility that, like China, we'll see that in a few days on the trade deal, like the Mexico tariff war that, I mean, there are obvious problems with both of those and they're apples and oranges, but, you know, they did come around and negotiate. So this is a little bit of, you know, Teddy Roosevelt, Donald Trump stick and carrot approach to negotiations. The problem is, in this case, unlike China and unlike Mexico, there's a very big military element, and there's so much that can go wrong. I mean, on Paul's point about his son, I mean, just to understand the drone shoot down, this is, it's more like a flying plane. This drone is not your kid's toy drone. It has the wingspan of a 737. It's huge, and it flies at 50,000 feet. So we're talking seconds about whether it strayed into Iranian territory, but they shot it down in international waters. Whatever it is, they escalated this military aspect of the conflict, and we'll see what happens. I mean, you know, it doesn't take a long memory to remember 1979. These are the mullahs running Iran, and it could be very much more dangerous than other tough talk diplomacy on trade or the nuclear deal.
Hey, Pamela, back in 91, Operation Desert Storm, there were hundreds of thousands of U.S. troops on the ground marching towards Baghdad. I mean, we've sent over, what, another 1,000 ground troops. I mean, again, reading the tea leaves and speculating, if we really had plans to go into Iran, boots on the ground, it would take more than 1,000 troops, would it not?
Yes, this is 80 million people. They've got a very substantial military. They're backed by Russia. This is a much more complicated situation, and they're getting more desperate. Their inflation is 37%, and 12% of working-age people are unemployed, and that doubles for the educated young people. So they're desperate, and they've got a very strong military. So whatever the president is talking about, obliteration, it would be at the cost of a lot of American treasure, no question. And I think Iran doesn't want it. The U.S. doesn't want it. And it's why President Trump retreated from the question of actually retaliating, because to escalate this is a much more dangerous situation than anyone. I mean, it is a dangerous situation. Everyone knows it.
Pamela Falk, she is the CBS News foreign affairs analyst. And thank you so much for making it plain for
us, Pamela. Absolutely,
Jordana. Thanks, Pamela.
Paul, there's a meeting tomorrow at the UN again. They're very worried about this time on the Iran nuclear deal. So I'll keep you posted.
Please do. Thank you, Pamela. We'll be watching your tweets.
Interesting. The perspective that Pamela had, I mean, my hunch is that the president does not want a full-blown war. He does not want American troops coming back in body bags for a variety of reasons, for a lot of good reasons. But now, I mean, to me, it's about saving face. And can you inch back away? Can you move back from the precipice and save face? Can the president save face? Can the Iranians save face? Can there be some sort of a negotiated settlement where everybody pulls back, where this doesn't have to escalate?
I don't know.
We shall see.
Again, these are people that chant death to America, and not just the people of Iran who are, good people. These are lawmakers.
But do they behave rationally and logically?
Do they? They're the greatest state sponsor of terrorism in the world. Do really? No, they don't. So it's really hard to negotiate with people like that. So we'll see where it takes us. We'll be watching Pamela's tweets. She is fantastic. It's also 5:20. You know who else is fantastic? Henry Lake. Henry Lake, the host of Late Night with Henry Lake, the host of Final Pitch after the Twins games. He is over at the field. He's going to be joining us before the Tampa Bay game next.
It's a good evening for baseball. Any evening is a good evening for baseball.
Especially at Target Field.
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Henry.
Henry.
Oh, you just busted in there, Henry, huh? We were going to introduce you.
Yeah, we're going to have a nice flowery intro.
I know, but you just bombed.
I don't need
in,
all
baby.
That stuff. I don't need all of that.
The wind beneath my wings. Here he is.
Really?
Henry
really?
Lake. Hey, Henry, all kidding aside, the next 2 weeks, very, very important for the Twins. How so?
Yeah, I think it's important from the standpoint of get to the All-Star break without any significant injuries. You know, get to the All-Star break, and right. then you have a chance to kind of just sit back and relax and enjoy, you know, take in the you know, a couple of days of knowing that you accomplished a great goal and being in first place in the AL Central to this point, but get some rest. Like, this team is so – they played so hard, and they've accomplished so much here in the first half of the season. Just get to that All-Star break so that you can get those days of rest and recovery, because we saw this last week, guys, that the 17-inning game, remember I was talking about and having fun with you guys about, you know, a media member up here kind of
yes.
taking a nap, which mm-hmm. was true. That was all true. But if you're a media member and you're a little bit winded and tired, just imagine the players going through the grueling game. And then on top of that, when they went to Kansas City, they ended up playing an extra inning game there too that they won. So this team just needs to get to that All-Star break and play good baseball until that time and go into the All-Star break with you know, with the lead in the division, which clearly they're going to have. You're not going to blow an 8-game lead in a span of 2 weeks. But, you know, just get that rest, get that recovery, and then be refreshed coming out of the All-Star break.
So it's 7.5 games? They're up seven and a half now?
Yep, seven and a half, because they were off last night and Cleveland won last night.
And the Royals are 24 back. It was amazing to me. To see just some of the boo birds coming back. It's like, oh my gosh, the Twins are losing. No, they can't lose. And
that's the panic. That
right.
is what
yeah.
That's what Minnesota sports fans do. Just think about it. In their last 10 games, they went 500. They played 500 baseball.
Yeah.
And they didn't lose a series to the Royals. They split a series with the Royals.
Right.
And as much as the Royals are a team that's struggling, they get paid too. They got pride too. And they were at home. You know, you're on the road right. and you split a series on the road. So it's Major League Baseball is such a long season. There's going to be highs. There's going to be lows. There's going to be ups and downs. But think of it like this. The Minnesota Twins are still the only team in Major League Baseball that has not had a 3-game losing streak. Okay, one of the best teams in all of Major League Baseball is the Houston Astros, as you guys know.
Right.
Before Sunday, the Houston Astros had lost 7 consecutive games.
Mm.
So, really?
So now are we going to say that the Houston Astros fans should be panicking? Should they be right. down and depressed about everything? No, their team is in first place, and that's what baseball is. At some point in time, and I don't think that we've actually seen it quite yet, this Twins ball club is going to have to face some adversity.
Right.
Now, are we on the verge of that, or is that going to come a month from now? We'll see.
You talked okay. about rest and recovery a little bit. I mean, can we do that against the Rays? What are we looking down the nose of
no,
tonight with this team?
The Rays are a really good team that play in a competitive American League East. And Blake Snell, who they're facing, and he's a good pitcher. So you're not going to get they're not an easy out. Let me put it like that.
Okay.
The Rays are good. We did actually win the series on the road down in Tampa, but you would think that they're going to come in with revenge on their minds.
All right, Henry Lake over at the field right now, and you can listen to Henry at Final Pitch after, well, the final pitch. And he loves to take your calls.
Oh, that's so why it's called Final Pitch.
Yeah, is that how that works?
Oh,
yeah,
that's how I get works. It now.
So tune in to Henry okay. as you do every night here on CCO, but after the final pitch, you'll hear Henry do a show and then continue on to one. Henry, you're the best. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Henry.
All right, talk tomorrow. Yep, bye.
And remember, pregame is at 6:30, first pitch at 7:10 tonight against the Tampa Bay Rays.
So I have a gift idea
for
Maddox,
or
possibly for Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
What about tickets to go see Viking tight end Kyle Rudolph's pro camp?
Fantastic.
Wouldn't that
We'd
be cool?
Love it, those
You
tickets,
can't just
Paul.
Get this at Target or order it on Amazon. If you listen to Dave Lee, 7:55 tomorrow morning, you can win a spot in this pro camp put on by Kyle Rudolph. He brings in amazing coaches. It's a 2-day extravaganza. Tips, hands-on instruction, lectures, fundamentals, contests, a very high-energy, fun environment. And again, who doesn't love the Vikings?
I don't think that if you work for the station, you can win the tickets, but it would be fun for my
Couldn't
tickets.
Your son win? He doesn't work for the station. Way.
But it means you, if you don't work for the station and you listening, probably don't. So tune in to Dave Lee to win those tickets because that's a great contest.
Or you can go online, mm-hmm. WCCORadio.com/contest. Mm-hmm. But I think it's easier just listening to Uncle Dave tomorrow morning at 7:55.
So when we get back... story I've been wanting to tell you all show. Toys R Us are going to open some new stores, and you're never going to believe this near-death experience this woman in Arizona had. It's bizarre.
Oh,
don't
stuff,
ruin it.
The stuff that she wrote?
Yes, you stuff.
No,
don't
no.
ruin it. It's called a tease for a reason. Don't ruin it.
Yeah, and I saw this. You have that story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have find a different one.
All
it's
right.
really
All right. All right.
All right. We'll be back right after the news.
Paul here. The extended outlook calls for stress, complications, hassles, and hoops all of us have to jump through. Life is tough. We all go through down periods, and so much of life is trial and error, right? You find out what works, usually the hard way. Jordana and I tried other agents to list our last homes. We had high hopes. It didn't work out as we had hoped. We eventually found a team that truly has it figured out. And that's why we do these testimonials, because we got results. We want you to get the same kinds of results that we did. John Schuster of the John Schuster Group, Coldwell Banker Burnett, heads up the only team in town that guarantees if for whatever reason they can't sell your home at a price and deadline you agree to, they will buy it from you. They take the risk out of it. And who says higher-end homes aren't selling? Chris and Jill in Edina were looking to downsize to one-level living. They needed an aggressive marketing agent who would bring them offers, not excuses. John got it sold in 39 days, 99.5% of asking price. And here's the deal. John has a flexible commission structure. When he finds a buyer, you can save thousands. Who else does that? Here's a prediction with rare 100% accuracy. It's the best decision you'll make this year. Contact John for full details today, 952-333-SOLD. Go online, johnschustergroup.com.
It's 5:35. Time to lighten it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Some heavy discussions.
It's been kind of heavy today. We need to find some balance, right?
Absolutely. Toys R Us is coming back.
No.
Isn't that exciting? We were devastated. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. I won't actually sing it because that would be troubling for everybody. But Toys R Us is gearing up to open new stores in time for the holidays. I guess they mean the Christmas holidays. MGA Entertainment Incorporated CEO Isaac Larian told Bloomberg, the market needs a self-standing toy store, that's for sure. We will sell them inventory. Richard Barry, the former Toys R Us executive who's now CEO of True Kids, he says the new owners of the iconic toy retailer and its signature Jeffrey mascot, they have plans for a new version of the chain. They have pitched plans for a new version of the chain to toy makers at an industry conference last week. The plans have been in the works for months. Hmm. The goal is to open half a dozen or so stores in an online marketplace. Yes, it is a far cry from the 600 megastores that closed last year. The new stores will be half the size of the old chain. It happens. They'll half the size of the old chain, but there'll be some freestanding stores. There'll be online, of course, and some freestanding stores. So small, but you get the Toys R Us experience.
Yeah, and again, if you can see the toys and play with the toys ahead of time, because sometimes when you order stuff online, you often don't know exactly what you're getting.
And the experience of being a kid and going to a toy store, or taking your kids to a toy store is just fun.
Yeah. Hands on.
It's just fun. Yep. So I love this. That I know they're coming back smaller, but let's hope it happens.
That's worth a swoosh.
Let's hope it happens.
You want to get healthier, spend more time in the woods
or
up at the lake. Okay. And I think all of us know this innately, but it's interesting how science is shedding light on this. Spending at least 2 hours a week in nature will do wonders for your health, according to a new study published in Scientific Reports. I know you read that cover to cover.
Every day.
Researchers at the UK's Exeter Medical School scoured previous studies to better understand how simply being outside benefits us. What did they find? They discovered being immersed in nature lowers the probability of asthma, hospitalization, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, mental distress, obesity, and mortality in adults. 2 hours weekly appears to be the sweet spot, Jor. 200 to 300 minutes. And again, this is important. 68% of the world's population expected to live in urban areas within the next three decades. But why do you feel better when you're in a park, a regular park, than you do in an industrial park? I would argue because you feel closer to God.
Nature. Nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever it is. I love it.
Whatever it takes.
All right. So listen to this crazy story. Tina Hines was going for a walk with her husband. They were going to go to a hike near their home, on a hike near her home in Phoenix, Arizona, with her husband, Brian. This happened last February. As they were heading out, Tina collapsed as she was heading out. Brian dropped to the ground beside his wife, and he started doing CPR. She's a mother of four. She momentarily revived, but she was out again. She was in cardiac arrest.
So she was dead.
Right. Well, yeah.
Her heart
she was
stopped.
Dying, certainly. Her heart stopped. Brian brought her back again before paramedics arrived. They said in the ambulance ride to the hospital, the team kept losing Tina. She was resuscitated a total of six times before she went to the hospital. They say for a collective 27 minutes, Tina was dead, medically dead. Mm-hmm. Okay. At the hospital, she was intubated, unable to speak. But as soon as she awoke, she gestured for something to write on so she could scribble her cryptic message. What did she write? She wrote the words, "It's real," in a message that she says refers to heaven. She's told her family, and then, of course, an Arizona newspaper, it was so real. The colors were so vibrant. She described seeing a figure she claims was Jesus before black gates, behind which a bright yellow light was glowing. When her loved ones asked while she was still intubated if what she saw was real, she simply nodded and looked upward. Now, about 90% of people who go into sudden cardiac arrest outside of a hospital die. So she is one of the 10% that did not die. And experts say the CPR saved her life, but also in those moments between life and death, people have near-death
experiences. Near-death
experiences. And your brain activity is still working. So your heart might be done. Your organs might have shut down. But your brain, there's still some function there. So she is taking in whatever happened to her. And she scrawled on a piece of paper. It's real.
It is amazing, though, Jordan.
Chills.
The people that have these NDEs, these near-death experiences, they all describe pretty much the mm-hmm. same thing. Mm-hmm. And some people say, well, it's just, you know, a hallucination as the brain dies, you know. But
No, they all see the light.
It's
going to go to the light.
What they paint a pretty amazing picture. Mm-hmm. So I think these people are getting a glimpse of what's to come.
There's something out there, folks.
So, hey, you want to stop the neo-Nazis?
Sure, I do.
Take away their beer.
Okay.
Did you see there's this town in Germany? Beer and marching songs may have fueled Adolf Hitler's rise to power. Neo-Nazis faced an alcohol ban at a German rock festival. They actually bought up all the beer. The local townspeople bought up, confiscated, hid. They hid
good
all
strategy.
The beer. Police seized 924 gallons of beer in this little town in eastern Germany called Ostritz. And, apparently the fans that were going to the Shield and Sword Festival, they knew that they would descend on the supermarkets trying to buy up all the beer, and there was no beer left. And apparently it worked. Last year there were 1,200 people. Neo-Nazis attending this concert. This year it was more like 500-600 fans. A Dresden court justified its ban on alcohol at the festival by saying, quote, "The event has an obviously martial and aggressive character, and there was a risk that alcohol would make violence
more
likely."
Think already neo-Nazis, you're on the edge?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Don't give them liquor.
It's actually really smart. Do you have a dying wish, Paul?
A dying
Something
wish?
Something you want to do before you die?
Yeah, I'd like 20 more wishes, please.
There you go. A woman in the UK had an unusual one. One of the UK's largest police forces arrested a 93-year-old woman who had committed no crime because it was her dying wish.
To be arrested?
Yes, exactly. In a tweet that received more than 1,000 likes, Pam Smith wrote to the Greater Manchester Police to thank them for their gesture toward her grandmother, Josie Birds. She says, "A big thank you for my grand Josie today. She's 93 years old. Her health is failing. She wanted to be arrested for something before it's too late. She has a heart of gold and thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you for granting her wish." The police said, I'm glad our officers could help out. Looks like Josie got the full experience. Now, this incident is not the first of its kind. In March, Anne Brokenbow, 104, had her wish of being arrested granted from her Bristol home. She said, it was an enjoyable experience. I had a lovely day. It was interesting. Nothing like that ever happened to me before. They put the handcuffs on. I had the whole lot. She said she made an old lady very happy by arresting her grandmother, who was quite poorly, I guess that means in bad health, and wanted to do something like this while she still had the strength to enjoy it. So I guess we all have that fantasy maybe of doing something wrong or being bad. And these ladies got arrested.
93.
Hauled into the clink.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that great?
She'll have a story.
Sweet. Right. She'll tell
her friends.
Good for her. Yeah. Very sweet. Very sweet.
Earlier, we had John Williams on.
We did.
That John Williams. Talking about how Illinois, as of today, became the 11th state in the United States to legalize recreational marijuana. Local residents, I think, an ounce or under, and non-residents, half an ounce. But
is that a lot? I don't know that much about pot. Is that a lot? I mean, is it enough to get you high?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think, yeah, you and your friends.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
You and your Torah study group, the entire...
Bring a whole new meaning to the Torah study group.
Well, you might make some new discoveries.
I love that. Yeah, huh? That's good.
I had no idea. See things from a different perspective. Uh-huh. Turns out, Jorah, we've been getting high for a long time. A tomb in Western China revealed the earliest evidence to date of toking habits. Cannabis has been a crop for millennia, but there's little historical or archaeological evidence showing when humans began to use the plant for what it's best known for today, getting high. An excavation of a 2,500-year-old tomb in Western China revealed the earliest clear evidence of humans using cannabis for its psychoactive properties. Scientists from China and Germany analyzed wooden fragments and burnt stones from pots in the tombs, and they found high amounts of THC.
Wow.
The authors of the study, which was published Wednesday in the journal Science Advances, suggested cannabis,
coffee table.
Cannabis was probably used during burial ceremonies, mm-hmm. maybe as a way to communicate with the divine or the dead. Wow.
All right. It's going to be legal everywhere soon. Imagine waking up on a plane. You take a trip. You wake mm-hmm. up on the plane. It's all dark. There's nobody there.
Whoops.
And you're alone. This happened.
It sounds like a bad flight.
It was an uncrowded flight from Quebec City to Toronto. Tiffany Adams, she took a nap. She laid down in an empty row. When she awoke, the plane was pitch dark. She was the only person on the plane. She found out it was parked far from the terminal, and the flight crew had left her behind. She said she woke up around midnight. She was freezing cold. She was still strapped into her seat in complete darkness. It's crazy, Adams said in a post on the airline's Facebook page. She tried to charge her phone to call for help, but couldn't because the plane had been powered down, and I guess her phone was out of charge. She said it was a nightmare. She found a flashlight and then tried to catch the attention of the workers on the tarmac. She was able to open a door, but she said she was facing a 40 to 50 foot drop to
Good
the
grief.
Pavement below. So a baggage attendant eventually saw her light and brought a ladder truck. The airline offered her a ride home and apologized. You think? A ride home? My gosh. Air Canada also said it's investigating. Adams said she's still bothered by the incident. She says, I haven't gotten much sleep since. I'm afraid I'm going to be locked up in some dark place when I wake up. The baggage handler said he couldn't understand how that could possibly happen, and nobody seemed to be able to figure it out. I mean, obviously, the flight crew did not do a sweep of the plane.
No, they did not.
Before they left. That's how it happened, right? Isn't that crazy?
She got a good night's sleep, and she'll probably get like 100,000 frequent flyer miles. Air Canada?
Poor woman. Air Canada. Oh, my gosh. Take a sweep, friends. Take a sweep.
How many? I'm going to jam this in. How many bridesmaids are enough? What's the optimal number?
I don't know. Three to
six,
five? Oh, yeah.
How about 34?
Okay, that's too many. That's too many.
Bride in New Orleans begs to differ. She went all out for her big beach wedding. 34
many.
Of her closest friends and family.
34, wow.
In Destin, Florida. Nice town. Her six sisters, 28 friends. She planned on 50 ladies, but couldn't make it because of, some of them couldn't make it because of family reasons and an army deployment. Why so many, you ask? Carter says she wanted a lot of friends, and she had a lot of friends from mentoring and participating in women's empowerment groups
quote, I wanted them all to experience the love that they've seen, that I've been praying for and wanting. I wanted them to witness it firsthand.
How were the dresses? Are there a picture of the bridesmaid dresses that all 35 of these ladies?
It was casual. It was kind of casual.
That's easy then. Yeah,
wear what you want to wear. Don't get hung up on that.
That's good.
But hey, why not?
That's fun.
It's a party.
I wonder who came to it. Is that the whole wedding? I mean, like, there's nobody else to invite.
No, well, good point.
Everybody's in the wedding.
Strangers. All right. We're out of time.
All right. We are.
So tomorrow, an update on the heat wave. These are new words. I have not said these words in a long time. A heat wave brewing. We'll have the latest.
Remind me not to eat Mike and Ike's before we're about to go on the air.
You got stuff in your teeth. Really?
Sorry. You shouldn't have to listen to me chew.
Take you anywhere.
Sorry. I'll swallow. Also, David Hogg, one of the Parkland kids, has had 7 assassination attempts on his life.
What?
Just for fighting for gun control. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Had a blast with you today.
Yeah.
Susan Blanche, you're the best. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.